As Detroit slid into poverty and eventual bankruptcy, one of the oft-repeated themes was that Detroiters didn't have a place to shop for fresh, wholesome food, and instead they had to turn to party stores with an emphasis on snack foods, beer, and soft drinks. But is that food desert a myth? Ade Orobo says, yes, it is. He's president and CEO of Associated Food and Petroleum Dealers and represents more than 4,000 stores in Michigan, Ohio, and nearby states. Ade, why do you say the Detroit food desert is a myth?
Part of it was, you know, I wanted to educate myself when I moved here from Southern California 5 years ago. I used to hear this all the time. So the first thing we did was we actually put all the data together and we mapped it. And then once we showed people what the stores really looked like on the inside, it really changed a lot of hearts and minds, and that's why the Detroit News decided to run an entire article on this myth, this ongoing myth that a lot of people for different interests have been pushing out there.
What did the map tell you as you explored Detroit? What did that map show you?
The map really showed us the areas of Detroit that are still populated, still, you know, have life to them. So there's 75 full-length grocery stores in the city of Detroit, but it also told us how big the overall city is from a square mile standpoint. And we actually also had focus groups where we talked to different customers from some of the stores, and that one of their biggest concerns was more of public transportation or lack of good public transportation. It was very in vogue to, you know, kick Detroit for a number of years now, and we just wanted to get the truth out there. And so we said, here's the map. You decide if it's a food desert or not, because Ms. Gallagher, who came up with this term a number of years ago, everywhere she ends up going, it turns out to be a food desert. I mean, I think that word doesn't really have any credibility, especially if you talk to USDA, even different departments that deal with food access.
Food access sounds like it has more truth to it and more of a grasp of the situation. You referred to transportation as one of the food access issues. What else do you see as a food access challenge in Detroit?
Well, public transportation is probably the number one issue just because the city is so big. So you have stores where you have rooftops. When you have areas where you only have one or two people living on a street, you're not going to have a store there. So when you compare Detroit with a population of, you know, under 700,000 to other big cities, we have more food access. Well, another big issue actually is crime, because in an area where you don't have good public transportation and not everybody drives a vehicle, people walk. Well, people can't go to a grocery store, make big purchases, and walk home safely. So those are the two biggest comments we've received a lot from Detroiters, and that's why a lot of them carpool. A lot of them actually, when they want to make big purchases, actually go across the border to one of the subs. And those are the two major issues that we see as the problem.
And are there things that you feel that your members with the AFPD can do to help address these challenges?
You know, our association's been around since 1910, so it's 104 years old. We started in Detroit. So the grocery stores in Detroit have always been viable. They've always been there. The independents now have taken more of a hold because a lot of the chains have left, but those stores are not empty for the most part. Independents went in there and reopened those stores on different labels. It's interesting that a lot of the folks that actually have supermarkets in the city also have supermarkets in the subs. So they're the same operation. It's this myth that keeps on going on that people always feel that, you know, Detroit is different. It doesn't get the publicity. And I really have the media to blame for it, as well as a lot of the folks that perpetuated this falsehood.
What do you think was behind perpetuating this?
I think people were really upset at Farmer Jack. Part of that was union pressure. Part of that was saying, you know, independent stores as well do not market the way that the big chains do. They have just as good product, if not better, but they just haven't been the greatest of marketers just because they don't have a number of locations with the same label. But independent stores do things that chains can never do. For instance, they know the neighborhood better. They're quicker on the move if somebody needs something. They actually give credit when somebody needs it just because they know Mr. Robinson or Miss Jones. They take care of them that way. And a lot of those things that where they are part of the fabric of the community really goes without any limelight. They just do it because they care and they actually spend more time in the neighborhoods they serve more so than even their families.
Ade, we're seeing an uptick in the presence of big chain stores in Detroit. Of course, the Whole Foods and the Medical Center, and then Meijer opened last year right at 8 and Woodward near the old state fairgrounds. And we know a second Meijer is going to open next year on the site of what used to be Redford High School. Is this causing everyone to kind of up their game and rise to the competitive challenge?
I think some people have, but I wouldn't say everybody. From visiting other stores across the state of Michigan, even Ohio, we do have some of the more competitive, from a price standpoint, stores in the city of Detroit. And I'd actually say if some of these stores were in other parts of the state, people would be, you know, oohing and aahing and wowing in terms of what they do and what they sell and everything else. So Meijer has come in, and we represent Meijer as well. They're welcome to come into Detroit, and it's a great thing. but the stores have not really been affected by the Meijer presence. If it's working for Meijer and it's working for Whole Foods, that's great, because that actually brings the attention of the city. It kind of takes it up a notch from a media standpoint, because people are not talking about Meijer and Whole Foods, but, oh, check out this store and check out this guy, and it gives us more attention to really tell our story.
And it sounds like you truly believe that independents can certainly compete in terms of price, of freshness, and of quality.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that, especially when you talk about the perishable sections, produce sections, meat sections. Those areas are commodities, so it's not like you could store truckloads or, you know, factories worth of produce without it going bad. So it's a commodity-driven market, while, you know, the interior of the store, the middle of the store, which like to say things like canned goods, processed goods, they have a 3, 4, 5, 6 year shelf life. The big chains could stock that up all they want and get a better pricing than the independents, because we just don't have the room in our warehouses.
Ade, as head of the AFPD, what are your personal goals and hopes for grocery stores in Detroit, let's say over the next 10 years?
Well, we just want to continue to see the grocery stores stay viable, and because they are really part of the community. When you shop a neighborhood a retailer, whether it's a grocery store or a gas station or even a party store, you're actually helping out your neighbor. That money stays in the area. When you shop a lot of these chains, you're sending the money to Arkansas, or you're sending it to Cincinnati, or somewhere outside. That's why we're even pushing farm-to-store aspects and buying local, the whole Pure Michigan label. We're really trying to push that, and independents really always been known for that, because they are your neighbor that you know, and they care more.
Ade Arabo, who heads the Associated Food and Petroleum Dealers, the AFPD. Ade, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, thanks for having us.